In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sight hinders faith. When you see, you no longer need to believe. When you see health, you no longer need to believe that the medication will work. When you see heaven, you no longer need to believe that it has been prepared for you. It is not that sight is sinful, but our reason, our feelings, and our happiness are too often tied to what we see. Like Jesus' generation, our generation wants to see signs and wonders. We want to see God working out all things for our good. We want to see immorality on the decline. We want to see justice being carried out. We want to see the church growing. We want to see God working in this world. And when we don't, we pray very pointed prayers like this official: come down before my child dies. End disasters. Protect the innocent. Heal my body. Bring relief to those who are suffering. He is God Almighty, Lord, Creator, and Ruler of all things, and we expect him to act. Calling on God in our hour of need or in our day of trouble is certainly good and right. Scripture and our Lord himself encourage us to go to him with our every need. But wanting and expecting to see results displays a lack of faith. The official expected a result. He expected Christ to leave Cana and travel to Capernaum, lay his hand on his son, and heal him. And so Christ preached the law. He called him to repent of his sinful behavior. He was not gentle, kind, or sympathetic. Christ remains a savior. He's not impressed with the official status, that of a nobleman, or with his wealth. He is not sympathetic toward the needs of a dying son, or the awful condition and the desperation the father finds himself in. None of that has earned anything from Jesus. Nothing but a rebuke, that is. Stop living by sight and believe. Jesus will not always sympathize with you. He will not validate your feelings or your thoughts. And even if you or your loved one sit in a hospital, he may not be gentle, but he will speak his law to call you to repentance. He will remind you that faith is not seeing. He owes you nothing. And so your health may never be restored. Your strength may never come back. The remainder of your days may be spent in complete dependency on others. And then he tells you that this is what you deserve because you are a sinner. And we cry out, "But you are my God, and I trust in you." Not if you complain with what he gives. Faith receives all things from the Lord, whether they bring a smile or tears. Faith earnestly trusts and prays that God may remove these trials, but it still remains content, whether rich or poor, sick or healthy. To complain about the current state of your life, to complain about the current state of a country or a world, is to display a lack of faith. It is to live by sight rather than by faith. The Father's sight must submit to faith. Our sight must submit to faith. Jesus' statement only adds to the man's ambiguity. The translation is not a good one. The translation says, "Your son will live." Translates it as a future. Jesus actually speaks in the present. He actually says, "Your son lives." But what does that mean? That he lives at this moment, so hurry home and go and see him before he dies? That your son will live and be healed? Or that your son now lives with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven? No answer is given, no promise is made. Jesus won't go with the Father. He won't do what the Father expects him to do, because he does not want that Father to live by sight, rather by faith. And so he sends him away with a word of life and leaves it at that. And the man believed the word and left. The word changed this man into a humble man who was content with the life that Christ alone can give. He no longer needs to see Jesus walking by his side on the journey to Capernaum. He no longer needs to see his son healed. Like Martha at the grave of Lazarus, he believes that his son will live in the resurrection. It is that life that anchored his faith. It is that resurrection that he eagerly awaited. His son will live with Christ forever. And the father believed that he would go to him there as well. The servants give a time frame. Jesus spoke with this man at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Capernaum is only about 7 miles away. So the father could have easily made it back home that very day, but he waits to the next day. He waits to the next day because he believes the word of life spoken by Christ. And yet when he meets his servants, he is delighted to hear that his son's physical health is also restored. Jesus does not visibly go with you back to your house. You may see no change in your life, your health, or in this country. He won't let you live by sight, but you have the word of life from him. You may not feel any different as you head home to care for a loved one, but do not accuse Jesus of failing to be relevant, of loving doctrine above actions, or of ignoring your needs. Do not live by sight, rather live by faith. Cling to that word which says, "Because I live, you also will live." So if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You are not dying, but you are living. Though your body betrays you and your mind fails you, you live. Though immorality increases and disasters threaten, you live. Though sadness may fill your heart and tears wet your eyes, you live. Let faith cut through the many things that demand your attention to cling to the word of life. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should change his mind. It is that word that made all things out of nothing. It is that word that healed this son. And it is that word that will turn this dusty body into an immortal body. Just because you don't live by sight doesn't mean God does not care for the body or for his creation. He loves it deeply. He has redeemed it with his own blood. And by speaking his word, he makes it immortal so that you, as body and soul, might live forever. Christ speaks to draw you away from sight and toward faith. You may never see an improvement in your life. In fact, you don't need to see an improvement in your life, your health, or your feelings in this country or in this world because you have a word from Jesus. So focus on that life. A life that flows from the riven side of your dear Lord. A life that comes from the Son who died bearing your sins. A life that comes from the one who is raised from death. The Son who lives as conqueror of sin, destroyer of devils, victor of death. In him is life. In Christ, in his physical body, there is life. A life that is poured over you in holy baptism. A life that is placed on your tongue in the sacrament of the altar. A life that is preached into your ear so that you might live. The Son lives, so you must also live. So what can death say to that? What can a devil do to rob you of that? You have the word of life from him who came back from the dead on the third day. And you need not wait until heaven to enjoy this, but it's yours right now. You right now are living. You right now are flourishing, and 6 feet of dirt cannot stop it. Devils cannot steal it. Disaster, pain, suffering, anguish, disease, surgeries cannot ruin this life. Despite how you feel, you live because Christ has spoken, and he does not lie. Life is your reality. And so as the father left Cana with that word of life, seeing no miracle, no sign, no wonder, but only holding to the word of life, so also we leave this house, this wedding feast, with no sign, no miracle, but only a word of life. And faith is content. It does not look for signs, wonders, or miracles. It doesn't wait for things to turn around in our life. It doesn't search for some silver lining. It doesn't wait for a change in the world or in life. In fact, quite the opposite. Faith knows that this world is quickly passing away. Faith knows that the devil and the spiritual forces of evil are driving this world deeper into immorality, despair, wars, and chaos. And so even if we are healed, even if our strength is restored, even if the Lord grants us 20 or 30 more years of good health, we know that death will still come. But that is okay, because we already live with the Son who lived for us. Life incarnate is in us. We cannot die. We cannot and must not die. But we will only sleep. For we will hear his voice, the same voice that spoke to the Father, the same voice that created all things out of nothing. Our bodies will hear his voice, and we will come up out of our graves. This physical body will rise, and then, and only then, will faith become sight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.